Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is taken from the 8th chapter of Luke, verses 16 through 18, which reads as follows. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. Instead, the person puts it on a lampstand so that those who come will see the light. For everything that is hidden will be revealed, and every secret thing will be made known. So be careful how you listen. Those who have understanding will be given more, but those who do not have understanding, even what they have, will be taken away from them. Thus far the text. Dear friends in Christ, today is the day, of course, for lovers. If you're husbands, you now have exactly 12 hours to go out and recover from forgetting that it is Valentine's Day, if you have, and dealing with that problem when you get home. But assuming that we are all good husbands, they that are husbands here today, we have remembered that today is the day for romance being in the air. Flowers, candy, wine, red-colored cards, and promises of what just might come a little later on are all a part of what this day has become on our secular calendar. The traditions of February 14th, most people speculate, come from the pagan rituals of Rome and honoring of a single fertility goddess that supposedly on that day commanded that all the birds would pair up and mate on this day, February 14th. Can you tell that I work in a library? But what gives the day the name, in contrast, is not all of the pagan rituals, love, feasting, reverie, and romance, but what gives the day its name is an obscure saint of the church who on this day in 269 was martyred for attending to the spiritual needs of Christians who were imprisoned for their faith. On this day, Valentine, bishop and martyr, would also meet with his witness and die to defend his Lord in the face of pagan opposition. Although it is doubted by most scholars, there is one legend that goes back to St. Valentine that has a little bit something to do with the day that we contemporarily celebrate. Although it is doubted by most scholars, there is this tradition that Valentine, in order to encourage the saints imprisoned for their faith, would pass them small notes on which would be written all kinds of encouraging things, but chiefly that the Lord loves them and cares for them and would not forsake them on their deathbed. And thus it was that the traditions became merged with the name of Saint Valentine, whose name this day bears even to today. For the Christian community, it is right for us to take a moment, even though it's not on our calendar, to think and to thank God for the witness of Saint Valentine, who died in the faith. In this faithful servant, God's word had taken root. It grew and it bare fruit. For Valentine's love for his Lord, for the love which Valentine's Lord showed him, he was able to show selfless care for God's children. And for that, we give thanks to God this morning. In Valentine and in us, of course, the love of God has been planted. It grew, it took root, and it bore fruit. In this place, to switch back to the light metaphor of last Sunday, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In our hearts, the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ has been created. At our baptism, the Holy Spirit brought forth that light of faith into our hearts. Our faith burned even brighter as we heard God's word and it was stoked with the kindling of God's word and his love for us. That even the light of the world himself came and lived within us and lives within us to this very day, so that he is there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to nurture us, and to bring light into the darkest areas of our life. By his grace, we are destined to live in a city of light, where there is no need of sun or moon or stars, because he will be the light. Because the Lord has done this for us, it is not something that we would want to hide in our hearts. Christians are not given by God to live in a cloister or even in an isolated little Swedish fishing village. He places us on a lampstand out in the middle of the world. There, the light that shines within us is able to illumine the whole world. When people see us, especially those of us called into the public ministry or who have privilege to study for that ministry, when people see us, they see the light of Jesus. It doesn't do any good to take off a clerical collar, to put on flannel, to stop talking God talk, and to just blend in. Because God lives within us, it will show. We have the name Christian, and because of that, people will see in us what God has done for us. Of course, very often we would rather hide. We would like to go into the closet because it's not always terribly popular to be a Christian. Or if it is popular to carry the name, it is not a very popular thing to act like a Christian. Sometimes it can be very politically incorrect to assert what the Lord has taught us and what he has done for us in the life and death and resurrection of our Savior. We can get into a lot of trouble when we assert that there is only one way to heaven, and that is through this light of the world. People don't particularly appreciate being told that they live in darkness. And so we sort of sense that and sometimes would rather take our life and hide it under a bushel or go and hide in the corner or perhaps crawl under the bed so that no one can see. But even so, that does not change the reality in our lives. We can't hide what God has done for us, nor should we want to. Because of what he has done by his grace and by what he has done for us on the cross, we have a light within us that cannot be hid. Even a light that's hid under a bed sort of glows a little bit so that you know it's there. Thank God for that, for all of the times that we would rather turn our back on our witness to the faith. Yet, because God is within us, we need to remember just one more thing, and that is that it is not our light that shines out into the world. It is not our persuasion that makes Christians out of non-Christians. It is the light of God himself carried forth through his word into this dark world that makes the difference. And because it's not our light, we don't have to worry about what the intensity of the light is that comes out of us, and we don't have to worry about the times when we would rather run into the closet. We can just entrust that whole area to the Lord, who is the light within us. You see, it doesn't work to hide the light in a dark place. Because it is not our light that shines, it is Christ's light which shines. It is a light that sometimes, despite ourselves, can manage to shine forth and help others to come to Christ. It is a light that tells us that we too have experienced what God has for us and helps us to share. Some people have repeated the stories of the martyrs who would say that they didn't realize that they would stand firm in the faith when the moment came for their faith to be tested. But because the Lord, who was their strength, was within them, when the moment came for them to stand up and be counted, there they were. It is, after all, God who changes hearts, God who shines the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, God who says, "Let there be light," not only on the first day, but on every day since the day that he decided to send his Son into the world to save us all from sin. And it is that light that even in the dark days of the winter and the dark days of the coming of our remembrance of Lent can keep us in mind of the day of Easter, and then the day that Easter comes to full fruition when our Lord returns in glory. Amen.